Our show is 20 years old this year, but we are but a stripling, a doe-eyed fawn, compared to the Blue Man Group. That show began in 1987 and is still playing in five cities across the U.S. and on tours across the world.
Still, when we talked with Blue Man Group founders Chris Wink and Phil Stanton, we had to ask them to explain what the hell it was.
Well, we had a bunch of interests in things like design and science and comedy and drumming and music, and we knew that we'd never get a job that combined all those things. So we, you know, actually started doing this as a labor of love and performed in, for our friends or in parties or in weird places that would have us. And we would get bald and blue, and we'd sometimes just walk around, see what happened.
Wait a minute. You would walk around New York City bald and painted dark blue?
Yeah, it was kind of a social experiment. We'd walk outside, and it was fun to get out of our own personas and see how people reacted. There was usually three reactions. It was either no reaction, they would get angry, or they would get really excited.
Yeah.
So you, I haven't heard you say drugs at all on how you started.
In the origin story?
Then the origin story, like, nothing?
Well, we should make up a fake story that does involve drugs, but it was remarkably dry, believe it or not.
This was our alternative to drugs. Let's just say the experimenting phase had already been...
Because drugs are expensive, and blue paint is not.
So, our show is a drug, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So guys, when did the blue come in?
Well, we needed some kind of equal opportunity alienator.
He means gimmick.
Yeah. No, we needed a gimmick. No, we wanted to shock a punk rocker, hip hopper, Wall Streeter, you know, housewife. We wanted to be equally other and also equally kind of compelling to each of those.
When you were developing the show, I know you have a lot of pretty elaborate bits. Did you ever try anything that totally failed?
All the time. One night, just as we got to that big finale in the show, everything goes crazy, sound went dead, and it was silent. And there's all these lights flashing, but there was not a sound. And we just were like, what are we going to do? And the audience just thought it was a weird choice.
Yeah.
They just kept dancing anyway.
And they started making the sound themselves. It was really kind of pathetic, but it was so sweet to see the audience thinking, like, this is that Blue Man show we heard so much about. And
then they had, like, this silent thing, and it was amazing. You guys could use that. You guys, like, walk into people's houses and take their food and stuff, and people were like, art.
We didn't say that. When we first would go around, we would go to bars, and people would always buy us drinks. We'd just go to the bar and sit down, and people would come over and go, you guys are weird. I'm going to buy you a drink.
Okay, there's no drugs, but there was a little bit of alcohol.
I understand. Well, Chris and Phil, we are delighted to talk to you. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
I have a few thoughts I'd like to share.
So the Blue Men famously say nothing. So we thought we'd ask you three questions about people who had a lot to say. Answer two of these three questions correctly, you won our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of anyone they might like on our show on their voicemail. Bill, who are the original Blue Men playing for?
Stephen Van Dyke from Lansing, Michigan.
All right, first question. A lot of very long talkers tend to be dictators because who's going to shut them up, right? Joseph Stalin once put out one of his very long speeches on vinyl records, one side of which was just what? A, Stalin singing his favorite Russian folk songs with la 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 instead of most of the lyrics. B, a half hour, a solid 30 minutes of applause. Or C, a series of Western commercial jingles which Stalin claimed to have written.
Oh my God, those are really bizarre choices. You know, I think it was the commercials, because they were into trying to, you know, explain that commercials were the American equivalent of propaganda.
Yeah, that's what I was going to choose too, but I should go with something else just to be contrary, right?
Oh, well, okay, so what were the other options? Applause?
I think he might have sung the whole side.
Stalin, so it's like Stalin singing some of his favorite folk songs. Half hour of applause, Western jingles.
I'm going to go with the folk song.
All right, I'm going to come back over to Phil's side. I think the commercials is a more interesting answer, but I think he probably did the folk song.
I don't know. Think about it.
I can understand why it was important for you guys never to talk when you collaborated.
So you
got to make a decision. What's it going to be?
They tried to steal from us, though. They tried to claim that they were the first in space. I guess they were.
Were. I think he's right.
So what is it?
I think we're going to go with the songs, even though the American, you know, propaganda jingles is a kind of an interesting thing. But I don't think it was that smart.
So you started with the jingles, but you're giving up the jingles and you're going with the songs. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going with the songs.
You were both wrong. It's the applause.
Oh my gosh.
He put out this incredibly long speech on vinyl records, were four records, and the first, seven and a half sides were his speech, and the last side was just half an hour of applause.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty cool.
It is. Sort of things you get to do if you're Stalin. All right, you have two more chances. The record for the single longest speech in the United Nations General Assembly is held by Krishna Menon of India. He did it back in 1955. His speech lasted for almost 8 hours, despite what happening? A, his Pakistani enemies releasing 100 pigeons into the room in the middle of it. B, Mr. Menon collapsing and getting hospitalized halfway through the speech. Or C, him really, really, really having to go to the bathroom for the last 3 hours of it.
Well, if the pigeons were released, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How did they get them past security? I feel like we should vote. Can we vote? I feel like we should vote for the pigeons, because if you pick that and base this question around that, then that's good on you. If you pick it on the bathroom one, then that's bad on you.
I'm going to pick the pigeons because that's what I do.
Yeah. Pigeons.
So you guys are amazing, because for the second time in a row, you devoted all your attention to the two fake ones. The real answer is that he collapsed halfway through, had to be hospitalized.
Oh, poor guy.
Was brought back to finish the speech under a doctor's supervision.
And there hasn't been a movie about it?
Apparently not. Wow. All right, last question. Maybe you'll get this one. The most recent crazy speech in the United Nations was given by the late Muammar Gaddafi back in 2009, a speech so long and crazy that what happened? A, 15 people in the audience fell into a coma while listening. B, his own translator shouted, "I can't take it anymore," and fled the room. Or C, the resonant vibrations from his shouting caused the podium in front of him to shatter.
Oh, that would be pretty epic. But that's kind of an urban myth, you know, the whole opera singing thing, breaking a glass. Oh, that doesn't really happen.
Careful, Chris. It's probably the right answer.
The right answer is going to be the one that you guys don't talk about. So pick your top two and then pick the other one.
What was number one again?
Number one was 15 people in the audience fell into a coma.
Oh, that's not possible.
No, that's happened here.
Yeah.
Right here.
That doesn't seem credible.
No. Second one was his own translator shouted, "I can't take it anymore," and fled the room.
I love that one.
Got to be two, right?
Yeah. Who's number two?
You're gonna agree,
one?
And please. You did get it right. That's what happened. In the middle of the hour 40-minute speech, the official Arabic translator just couldn't take it anymore, shouted that, and fled the room. Bill, we have to forget the official score. How did Chris and Phil do in our quiz?
Well, Chris and Phil kissed many frogs and finally found their prince. They got one right.
Yes, well, you did get one right. So I got to ask, 25 years, congratulations. Is there going to be a second show from you guys? I mean, other than more different iterations of Blue Man.
You know, we actually are working on some new things right now for real, and some of them are very different ways that the Blue Man character could be in a show, and others are shows that don't even involve the Blue Man character.
Wow.
No one on stage.
Yes. No one on stage. They don't talk, and they're not
there.
No
one on stage and no music.
I would watch a show of just you two guys arguing. Just so you know.
The No Man Group. I'm sorry.
No Man Group.
No Man Group. Chris Wink and Phil Stanton are two of the founding members of the Blue Man Group, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Chris and Phil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.